the hand signs you were giving me right now for this are cracking me up.
Yeah, did I think I doggy paddled, didn't I?
You did, or ran. I'm not really sure what that swimming motion was that Chris just gave me. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved. But we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. And my name is Carly Duke.
And I'm Chris Roby. I'm glad you guys joined us today. Carly, what if I was to tell you that teenagers have a job?
Every teenager has a job?
Every teenager has a job, but they don't get paid for it.
Ooh, bummer.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't even realize that they have this job.
Interesting. Tell me about this job, Chris.
It's a job that has a lot of tasks, but the job is adolescence. It is the task that you go into adolescence, and we are going to talk about one of those today.
I see what you did there.
Segway!
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So as Chris said, teenagers don't just get to be teenagers.
Right.
They are also growing and learning as they go along, which sounds awful.
Yeah.
if you think about it, if you think about when you're a teenager and you're trying to not only just get by, but you are also downloading all this information into your brain because you're trying to get ready for adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird... Teenagers, adolescence is a weird in between. You're not quite a kid. You're not quite an adult. And you're trying to figure that out. And one of the tasks of adolescence that we want to talk about today is your identity.
Right.
And how teenagers are trying to find their identity.
It's this idea of differentiation, right? So I'm trying to figure out who I am compared to who you are. And it's a fascinating concept that humans do this. And what always makes me giggle a little bit is like my dog sitting at home isn't sitting there thinking, who am I?
Are you sure?
If he is, he's not doing his job very well because he's still sitting in that crate. But just this idea, this is a uniquely human thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so this adolescence is that phase where those questions start coming out. Who am I? And this can really, especially coming out of childhood in those early adolescent days in middle school and late elementary or middle school, can be why teenagers might be a little moody or a little bit confrontational, a little bit difficult, because they are now burdened with this question, who am I? And that's a big question to have to ask for a young mind.
Well, and especially thinking in context of who am I compared to my parents?
Hmm.
Do I believe everything that my parents believe? Do I agree with how I was raised? And that can cause some pushback either way. If they don't come from a healthy home life and are trying to differentiate themselves, that's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't come from a good family life and they're getting drawn into that as well, that's difficult. If they feel like if their family at least feels like they're raising them up the right way, and a teenager decides, I don't agree with that and my identity is going to be separate, man, there can be some pushback on families. And so they're not only trying to figure out what their identity is, but also trying to juggle, who am I going to make mad about this? Is it worth the fight of mm-hmm. figuring out my identity? And there's a lot that goes into that discussion. And think about, your identity is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's not something I think about that often because it's just part of who I am.
Right.
But as a teenager, they're trying to establish that identity for the very first time.
And they're likely, they're not realizing they're doing it. I mean, do you remember establishing your identity as a teenager?
I guess not really. I do remember, especially going to college, when I realized for the first time, this is a choice I get to make because my mom and dad's not here to tell me to do mm-hmm. it. And I remember that being a big moment of even like, am I going to go to church this Sunday? Because for the first time, I don't have someone asking where I am.
Mm-hmm. And basically, that is, to me, a result of a lot of work you'd already done.
Right.
True. Right. And that you weren't even aware of. Your parents are very aware that you went through, the changes you went through back in, your early adolescent years. But as a parent, this can be really jarring that all of a sudden this kid who is, completely dependent on you, not only for, food, sustenance, shelter, but how to make sense of the world and how to interpret what's going on, is all of a sudden now having their own thoughts and maybe not wanting to hug you in front of their friends and doing the things that really show pushing away. And I talk to so many parents, and I don't have a teenager yet, but my oldest is almost 11. It's coming really soon. I'm already actually seeing some small signs of it, actually, but of just that starting to push away the parents take so personally. And I understand why that is. That's your kid. But also having to remind them that if they weren't doing this, then that's when we'd be worrying about things. If they weren't pushing back, if they weren't doing their own thing. And so somehow reminding parents and reminding teachers, you know, people who are really close to kids, this is what they do.
Well, and think about that for a second. If there is pushback and there's a little bit of like, ouch, they're growing up. But think about if you had a teenager who, especially when they graduated, was like, I'm just going to sit here. I don't have any, I don't know who I am. I can't make any decision. I'm not going to go get a job because I don't know what I want to do. I am just going to continue to live in your home and do what I've done because my identity is wrapped up in yours. And as a parent, you would probably feel like a failure.
Right.
And so balancing that as adults of, we don't want them to grow up, but at the same time we do. And that's the goal, is to get them to a place where they do have their own identity and can go out into the world and live that out.
And you'll see too, I mean, there's a, I don't have the hard stats in front of me, but teenagers are, it's taken them longer to go through this than they used to, as evidenced by when does a teenager get their driver's license. We see a lot more now that kids are waiting till they're 18 instead of 16. They're pushing off crucial decisions and decision making. And you talk to college professors who have freshmen in their classes who are still very tied up with their kids, right? And so this whole idea of adolescence is, we want to encourage you, if you're seeing those signs, to not try to tamp that down necessarily. You want to do it in safety. Obviously, you want to do it in it where it's appropriate, where you're not just having screaming matches and that kind of stuff, but also know that if a kid is pushing back against certain things, that is a sign that they're developing as they should.
Well, we want teenagers to develop their own identity because what we see so often too is teenagers looking other places for their identity that is so unhealthy. They're looking to social media. They're looking for the likes and the comments because that's my identity now. My identity is tied into what others think about me. Maybe it's a relationship, whether it's a friendship or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and that's my identity. And what happens when that relationship is no longer there? Or it's tied to sports or band or grades. And then what happens when there's an injury? And what you thought your identity was as an athlete is no longer there. Or when your identity as the smartest person in your class, and then you go to college and you're not the smartest anymore, but your identity has been tied into that. If our teenagers are tying their identity into other things without finding it themselves and really being independent in that, you're going to see a lot more issues down the road that aren't going to be healthy.
Yeah, it's that sweet spot of figuring out who you are and being great with it, right? And that takes some chipping away and some work and some failure. And you're going to have times of those of your life where you work so hard at something as a teenager and it all fall apart and realize, man, that wasn't me. You know, Carly, what are some ways that we as adults can help teenagers develop a healthy sense of identity?
Well, I think one way is to make sure you're staying in conversation and asking questions. Is this something you want to do? Is this something you feel like I want you to do, or is this something you feel like you have to do? And paying attention, if your teenager is part of a sport or a club and you're realizing they're not really finding joy in that anymore, asking questions about that. Why are you doing it? If you're not enjoying it, what is making you do that? And trying to figure out and trying to help them separate. I don't have to always do stuff that other people want me to do, but let me find my own niche and my own strength and my own lane. Affirmations, like we talked about last episode, are also big in that, helping them find their identity by encouraging the things that you see that aren't always even physical or tied to something else. You don't always, it's nice to affirm and compliment how they look or the things that they're doing, but also try to compliment those character traits that are innate and inside of them and aren't just on the outside, because we also don't want to tie their identity to how they look or external characteristics, but man, you are courageous. And start to affirm those things instead of only affirming the things that are really easy to see.
Right. And I think that there are different tools of identity formation that are available to teenagers that are more socially acceptable now than whenever I was a teenager, mm-hmm. right? And so sexuality is a big component of that. And so there's a lot of exploration in that area that you're going to find more so now than when you were a kid. But also know whenever I was a kid, there were things that we were doing that blew our parents' minds and thought, you know, we were crazy as well. But being aware enough as a parent that as your teenager throws you curveballs, to know what's really going on here, mm-hmm. right? Teenagers are classically characterized as rebellious and pushing the edge. And so they're looked upon with derision because of that. But what if we step back and looked at them with compassion? Mm. It's a whole different yeah. ballgame. To know, hey, man, I would hate to be in a place in life where I had to do those things to figure out who I was, mm-hmm. right? And so it enables us, and we start the podcast every time, teenagers are not a problem to be solved. And that really, that goes right in line with this whole idea of identity formation. We want to, as the adults in their life, be that safe place. I've seen it. I think it was Kara Powell from Fuller Institute talked about, we as adults get to be the springboard, like you think about an Olympic swimmer when they're swimming, you know, swimming laps, when they flip over and push off that wall to go back out.
The hand signs you were giving me right now for this are cracking me up.
Yeah. I think I doggy paddled, didn't I?
You did, or ran. I'm not really sure what that swimming motion was that Chris just gave me. I love it.
Yeah. So, but just being that solid foundation for a kid to be able to bounce off of. And it's not, and we talk about being shockproof all the time. That's all key in identity formation, where they can come at you with this stuff. You knowing as the adult, I know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be surprised by this. And that relationship that I have with them is going to be that firm foundation that they get to bounce all this stuff off of while they're figuring themselves out. And we get to look at them with compassion while they do that.
When you're right, and even just being aware of that can be a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And giving them that safe place and knowing, if you know what they're doing, instead of being shocked of like, why are they acting that way?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they pushing back there? But when you know, oh yeah, they're searching for identity,
mm-hmm.
there can be more compassion, there can be more patience, because you're looking for it and you're expecting it instead of being taken by surprise.
And too, I think being self-aware enough to know this isn't about me.
Hmm. Right.
And so maybe having that in your hip pocket as a helper, like, this isn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
This is about them. And so let's make this about them.
So for our next topic, I want to talk about vaping.
That's a shift.
That is a shift. I don't have a cool, snappy transition for you there. And to be fair, this is not a new trend.
Right.
But I think it's still worth talking about because it's still something that our teenagers are using.
Mm-hmm.
This was not around as much when I was a teenager. It might have even been coming, but e-cigarettes and vaping can be a huge thing for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I did look up how many teens are using it and how prevalent it is. In 2020, a study found, and I'll post all these links at teenlifepodcast.com, but in 2020, a study found that nearly 1 in 5 high school students were vaping.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But what's also interesting is that the number has dropped in the pandemic.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
And it's because there's not as much access to retail and social access.
Huh.
So they're not at school and their friends are using it and they're borrowing or getting pressure. They're not going to grocery stores or stores as much where there's access to it, where they can buy it because they're staying home more. And so we've seen a drop, but it's still prevalent because 1 in 5 is a lot of teenagers.
Yeah, it really is. So let's go into like, what is the e-cigarette? How that works is I'm actually, as you're describing it, my brain's like, how does that work? But basically it's an electronic device that heats up a liquid and produces an aerosol, a mix of small particles in the air. And they come in different shapes and sizes. And that's something that can throw people off, is that they don't look like a cigarette
exactly.
a lot of times. And so they look all kind of different ways. And so it makes it a little bit easier to hide, I think, what that thing actually is. They most of them have a battery, a heating element, and a place to hold the liquid. They do. There are some that are, you're talking about different shapes and sizes. I've heard about this. Some of them are larger devices, such as tank systems or mods. And they don't look like other tobacco products. Matter of fact, I have remember leading a group one time where teenagers were bragging about going to vaping competitions, where they used these big tanks to blow different kinds of rings with the vaping smoke. And so there's like competitions around this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then some of them will actually look like cigarettes or cigars, but some can look like USB flash drives or pens or other everyday items. And I know my husband was a high school teacher, and in years past, he would look over and realize that kid is vaping in the middle of my class.
Wow.
And trying to do it very subtly, but it doesn't look like a cigarette, so they can do it in class. Or they would walk. He would walk in a bathroom and be like, "I smell it. I know the kids are vaping." Mm. They're small enough that they can take them places with you. In one of my support groups, one time, a girl was talking about that they were vaping in the car and got pulled over, and they were trying to break it and toss it out the window and try it. Which I was like, "You do know that that makes you look more guilty."
Yeah, yeah.
But they're smaller and they can take them with them wherever they go. But a lot of times, teenagers think it's safer than smoking. Hmm. It's not smoking, and so this is safe. It is marketed to teenagers way more than cigarettes are because they have flavors.
Yeah.
And so it's marketed towards a younger audience, which is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked up, there's this article on the CDC website that we'll also link that had a lot of really good information. But they said most e-cigarettes do contain nicotine. And in fact, a recent study said that 99% of e-cigarettes sold contain nicotine, and even some that said they didn't contain nicotine. Wow. That they even said that they had 0% nicotine, that they found it did contain nicotine.
And that is the problem right there. This is an unregulated industry.
Yes.
And so what they are putting in their bodies actually is likely not as advertised. And so not only are you, it's not like, you know, eating a hot dog where you don't know what's in it.
Gross.
I love using that example. It's a great metaphor, but it's you're inhaling it. You're bringing it into your lungs, right, and you don't actually know what these things are, and the risks surrounding that are incredible.
Well, that's what's so important, because they're not just eating it, but they're inhaling it. And so on the CDC website, it actually says that some of the aerosol ingredients are very harmful to the lungs long term. And some of the flavors are safe to eat, but when you inhale it, it's going to your lungs, not your stomach.
Right.
And it's actually more harmful towards your lungs than your gut. And so that's some of the things our teenagers aren't thinking of. But also, using nicotine can harm parts of the brain that control attention, learning, mood, impulse control.
Mm-hmm.
And think about teenagers. Many would say they already are developing that sense of controlling those things. And then when they use nicotine and those things are even more delayed or even more stunted, how difficult that is to be a teenager who's also using nicotine.
Absolutely.
Another reason it's risky for teenagers is that it's found to increase future addiction to other drugs, or teenagers who use e-cigarettes are more likely to smoke cigarettes in the future.
Wow.
And so that might be something that you think, what does it hurt now? It's just an e-cigarette, but often it can lead to other things. And so this is a topic we wanted to cover. It's something that we hope that you're talking to your teenager about and that you're aware of, even what do they look like? Because if you find something in a teenager's room, you might think nothing of it, but it could potentially be an e-cigarette device and you're just not aware of it.
And I'll kind of close on this. One of the things I talk about a lot to my teenagers when I'm doing group, and a lot of times it's around marijuana use,
right,
is the idea of what you're putting in your body as a developing mind. Mm-hmm. So your mind is literally in development right now. It's like building itself for the rest of your life, right? And so the things that you put in your body, especially things that are unregulated, that you're not exactly sure what you're doing, can't have that outsized profound impact years from now in some other addictions. And that's because it is a developing mind that's taking that on.
Right. And so to get to a lighter topic, let's get off of vaping.
All right.
I once again don't have a great transition, but today for our tip, we want to talk about family board games.
Yeah. This is the weird transition episode, isn't it?
It is, but you know, we're just going to go with it. And we're going to move
awesome.
On. But we wanted to give you some ideas, especially in summer, what are some things that you can be doing with your teenagers or with your family that are also fun, mm-hmm. that they might roll their eyes at, but when they get into it and they start playing, you're going to have fun and you can build these memories as a family. And so we're going to put up a full list at teenlifepodcast.com. If you look for episode 10, you'll find it there. But some that we wanted to hit on, one of the favorites at our house is called Throw Throw Burrito.
Oh boy, I played this one.
First of all, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a mix between a card game and dodgeball with these cushy burritos that have eyeballs. So if that doesn't make you want to go buy this game, I don't know what will. But it's a fun one. Make sure you're playing with people at a competitive level that are kind of all on the same playing field. My husband one time pegged me in the eye, and it is a very soft burrito, but man, it hurt.
We've made family members cry over this game.
This is a great one, especially for older teenagers, because it does sound dorky, but it is really fun.
It's a lot of fun.
And your boys would love this game.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. One that I have recently come across is called Poetry for Neanderthals. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
So it's a form of Taboo, if you ever played Taboo before, basically where you have to describe something without saying it. But instead of that, you have to use one syllable words, like a Neanderthal would.
So you're like grunting out.
So you're basically grunting out. So from their website, one of the ones that they talk about is you have to describe a T-Rex with only one syllable word. So theirs is big thing, like bird, it scare me. And so you can play with any age kid. I played with my little kids and we have a blast trying to grunt out the descriptions. And then there's this inflatable club that comes with it. And if you say a two syllable, you get to hit them with a club.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So apparently a lot of our examples have violence associated with them. Sorry. But that's a really fun one as well.
Another one is Utter Nonsense. And this one's fun. It's a card game, but you flip over a card that's an accent. And then everyone has cards in their hand and there's a judge. It's similar to an apples to apples, Cards Against Humanity type game. Mm-hmm. And that you then pick a card and one at a time, everyone goes around, but they have to read their chosen card in the accent that was chosen at the beginning. And so then the judge picks not only the card they think is funniest, but the accent. And a lot of times, man, when you have that British accent in your head and you're ready to go, it does not come out so great. This one's just so fun. It's lots of laughs. You can play with a lot of people. It doesn't have to be, or you can play with a few people. We've played it before and you can have Valley Girl accents, Batman, all different kinds of cultures.
Sounds like chaos.
Exactly. But it is utter nonsense and it is super fun. Another one, this one might be, I like it, but boys might like it if you have someone that's into comics or Marvel. 5-Minute Marvel is fun and that's a family game that you work together. It's not competitive, but everyone works together to beat the villain. Mm-hmm. And that one's a lot of fun as well. And then Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza.
Back to the violent one. Yeah, this is like spoons and cards kind of mixed together.
Exactly.
You have to basically do that order Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza, but you put down the card no matter what it is. And once it's actually a taco, when you say it, you all have to hit it.
Slap it.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of bruised hands with that one, but it's a whole lot of fun.
Exactly. And so, in honor of these fun games and summer, we want to send a game to one of our podcast listeners this week. But we will post this on social media, but we are giving you the exclusive tip on how to do it. So if you want to win a board game from Teen Life, we will draw that name this week. I'm trying to think of what the date would be. By the 12th. So by June 12th. So if you are listening to this and it's not June 12th, go. If you comment on any one of Teen Life's posts, find us online. If you go to teenlifepodcast.com, you'll find all of our social media links. But if you comment on any post with either a taco, cat, goat, cheese, or pizza emoji, we will know that you've heard this and that you're entering to win. We'll enter you into the drawing. You also get a bonus if you tag us in your story or if you share a Teen Life post. And we're just excited to send someone a game so that you can find out all of these fun things for yourself.
Good luck on this one, guys.
I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. So go to teenlifepodcast.com. We'll add a few more games to our list. So depending on what you like, go find a game. And we encourage you to spend some time with your family, laughing, and just really enjoying your time together.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.